Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
My friends, to the show where we pretend you stumbled across a team of voices radio, ATOV. It's a Wonderland production. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. We we are a group of writers from allpoetry.com, biggest writing site in the world, I guess, country, world, neighborhood. We share our work on Blog Talk Radio, and anybody's welcome to join. It is free. All poetry is free. The number here to share your work or to hang with us is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. ATOV Radio. With me is the man from Snowy River, the Wizard of Oz, A.P. Taylor from Down Under. Hey, A.P.
Hi, Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Talking to the other side of the world is a technology wonderful.
Well, it is, and I think we've got a guest with us, and I've got a funny feeling that might be Wayne. Hello, 270. Hello, 270.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well,
I'm looking for reading glasses. I'm sorry.
I thought it was you.
I can't find my reading glasses. I can't see nothing. I'm blind.
No, it's all good. So anyway, Hatter, we've got Wayne with us, and of course we've got Deb with us.
Hey, I found a thing I was talking about yesterday on the internet.
Okay. And yes. Now we've got to get to that. Bear with me. We've got to get to that. Anyway, back. We're back with you, Hatter. So that's what we've got at the minute. And we do have some SoundClouds. We've got three today.
Okay.
Putting two more in now.
Oh, cool.
Well, the subject decided on or chosen last week was light. What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Lighter than a feather, the days of wire light. anything about light? Bud Light.
But now,
maybe, I don't know.
Now, Hatter, can I explain what the hell that theme music was?
Please, because I don't know what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was, of course, the Tornadoes from 1962. Okay, so the Tornadoes were had a number of number one hits, and this was a particular, this was actually done for a piece of space equipment, that song. Yeah, go figure. It was done for the very first American satellite, commercial satellite. There's a little thing called Telstar. And so the song is called Telstar. It's from 1962. It was a number one hit in America and Britain from the British band, the Tornadoes. Now, what I found out, and we've talked about this for a number of years, there was a wrecking crew of musicians in the United States, and that the wrecking crew musicians in the United States were actually responsible for playing in a significant number of hits and a significant number of number one hits. The link here is that, of course, satellites use light. They use microwave, and they did in 1962 when that satellite went up. And that song by the Tornadoes had a famous member of the British wrecking crew playing the drums. And that was a guy called Clem Cattini, and he has played so far on 45 number one hit singles, and that was, I think, about number three out of 45. And so that is a song about satellites. It's a song about light. It's a number one hit from 1962, and it features a member, very famous member, of the British wrecking crew. So I thought that was nice, sort of.
You know, you can sort of tell music before the British invasion, because next after that organ type of sound with MG, Booker T and the MGs, that kind of sound was the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean. Then the Beatles came
over, right.
The Stones, Cream,
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Hatter. And the next British hit in America after the 1962 song from the Tornadoes was actually from the Beatles. And so that was last British number one before the Beatles came in. Yeah.
1962 was a long time ago.
Was a long time ago, Wayne. Yeah, was.
You know, that's where I got my first transistor radio. I got my first transistor radio in 63.
There you go.
That was it. Technology.
And I have to say, Hatter, that you know, I wasn't around in 1962 because I wasn't thought of then. But in the early 70s, the thing that we used to do was that we used to listen to the radio at the farm in Portland. And my father used to have this bloody great big European radio, and he'd put the aerial up and you'd hear all of these stations from Europe. And if you're really going well, you could actually hear the satellites going around on that radio.
It's amazing.
Telstar.
Kind of fun, really. So there you go. That's first commercial satellite from Bell Labs. It was only about, you could get your arms around it. It wasn't very big, but it was up there.
Did the military take over the microwave signals? Why did it go away? Why did they quit basically using it for communication? I think it's more direct.
They used it to make the reason they put it up there and spent all the money putting it into space was because it was the first satellite that enabled live transmissions between the US and Europe. And so what it meant was that you could have sports events like tennis and stuff like that appearing on people's televisions at the time it was happening, or ball or whatever, yeah? And so they put it up there basically to make money from live sports broadcasting to TV stations. And they did. That was the purpose of doing it, and they did make money out of it.
They weren't spying at all, huh? Okay.
No. It was a straight commercial endeavor. You know, they put it up there to make money out of live sporting events, and that's exactly what they did.
Was that like Bell Star? Was that one of the first communication companies, like, you know, Bell or AT&T?
That's exactly what it was. Had it? Yeah, it was from Bell Labs, the Telstar. Telstar 1, then there's Telstar 2. Yeah? And Tornado sort of took sort of the interest that was going on with space, and with that quite remarkable early synthesizer sound and the heavy guitar sound, and then they added some sound effects as well. And so if you listen very carefully, there's like a sound of a rocket at the start of the piece of music, yeah? And inventively, they got the sound of the rocket by recording a toilet flushing and playing it backwards.
Oh.
Yep.
Of course they did.
No, seriously. That was where sound effects were at that stage. You know, it was trying to find out. We're not the money to go down and listen to a rocket often. So what we'll do is we'll work out how that sounds, and they came up with a toilet flushing backwards is the best option.
Yeah, they already had a lot of that knowledge from the radio. They had, if you watch the old
radio.
Yeah,
well, all the radio
shows
had to do the same thing.
Sound effects and voices, they were all together. Even the singers were in the same room doing commercials or whatever.
Exactly.
But, and
they found ways to get things done, Hatter. Like, for example, you know, we had the sport, and you would have had baseball, we had cricket, yeah? But they didn't have sound effects microphones on the ground, yeah? And so what the sports broadcasters used to do would be go, and as they were talking, and so that, I'm just tapping a paintbrush on the edge of my computer here, but they would do that each ball so that it sounded as if you could hear the shot being played or the bat being on the ball. It was simply just somebody grabbing a piece of wood and blocking it against something.
It must have been pre-filmed and then dubbed over.
Yeah, it could have been dubbed too. So that's what the Tornadoes were about. The Tornadoes were last sort of number one pre the Beatles, and so that's quite important in terms of a musical signpost. But as I said, Clem Cattini, 45 number one hits as a member of the British Wrecking Crew. That was number three back in 1962.
Yeah, interesting that England had sort of a Wrecking Crew also. They weren't, of course, called the Wrecking Crew.
No, but they were exactly the same group in terms of a very professional group of unlisted, largely, musicians who basically were sitting there as a pool that people used to get songs completed. And if you look at the Tornadoes, in terms of their all of the photos of the band, the Tornadoes, there's no drummer there. And so, but then, you know, it's obviously a drum line in that song.
That group had had a lot of power back in. They decided who was number one, who wasn't number one, basically. It had a whole lot of power they shouldn't have.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Wayne, because it sort of was, I think it sort of started in a way that was sort of, you know, it was just trying to sort of fill a gap, and then all of a sudden they found this group of, you know, musicians were a lot better than the people who were actually playing the stuff in the bands, yeah?
Right.
That certainly was the case in the U.S. Wrecking Crew, Hatter, where you had
The power came after they got formed. They realized how much power they had after they got formed, because they could take a song and make it number one, but they could turn all the radio stations, basically. They had a lot of power, but
when they started. Well, the thing that they were just that good, though. That's the thing about
they were good, yeah.
And Hatter, you know this all too well, you know, that some of the best musicians that have been in the United States were in that Wrecking Crew, yeah?
I'm sorry,
you know,
I'm getting my last line done. I'm getting my last line done.
You're getting it. Oh, okay, fair enough. I wonder what was happening. Because I know that...
And
been,
one thing I forgot. One thing I forgot.
Yes.
In the back doing all the heavy lifting for us. In fact, she's in her office right now. Does all the heavy lifting, so we can tell here. Look pretty, Deborah Lee. Is Deb. Hi.
Hi,
Deb.
Hi.
And a reminder, we have the Winter Park paintout coming up. What's the date that starts? Deborah.
It's in April, but I don't know the start date yet. Mark's going to get back to me.
Thank you from Stephen. Thank you to Stephen and Kay for the million points they donated to the contest. It'll be great this year. Yeah, I can't wait. And we will announce it as soon as we get it. Announce it.
A million points. Wow.
It's always. Yeah, a million points. Yeah, Wayne. Yeah, amazing. It's always a huge competition. I think, you know, most years that when the paint out comes, that you've got a couple of weeks to write a poem, and you know, I've seen as many as a couple of hundred, 250 poets from the site, Hatter, and so it's probably, you know, one of the bigger competitions. On site in terms of poet numbers, and Mark, you know, almost always brings in some form of, you know, experienced and published poet from the Florida area. I think last couple of times it's been sort of the poet laureate Florida or something similar to that. And so, you know, it's a pretty high profile contest, probably one of the highest profile contests that we do on the site. And, be interesting to see what comes out with the art, because you write to the art as the art is done by the artists, and it'll be interesting to see what art comes out and what that inspires.
Yeah, every year they have some outstanding paintings. You know, pick one that you like and then write to it. It'll be posted with the painting as it's displayed, I guess. That's the way it goes. Yeah, do we have three winners? And it is huge. It's the contest is so large with so many entries that they split it up between three judges, I think, to
they've got three or four judges, and of course Deb has been one of those judges before. And I think you've won it.
And
before,
a winner.
Deb. Is that right?
She won, yeah.
I won the gold the first year I entered. I have an HM from a different one, and there's usually four judges, and then they turn all their favorites over to whomever the poet laureate is, and they pick the winners from there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Well, I think I've got an HM before, but that's about as good as I've got, I think. I've certainly got an HM before, but that was a few years ago.
Just to make the finalists on any one of the judges' lists is remarkable.
They give
available to us.
They they give extra.
We'll give them to you.
Yeah, absolutely. But they give extra HMs away because there's so many that join. So they're, you know, but this will be the biggest prize point ever, thanks to Stephen and Kay.
Yeah, and I've got a funny feeling, and I have refreshed the studio too. That's noted because we've got a whole heap of sound cards. But I think last year, if I remember correctly, Sweet went incredibly well there from memory.
Yeah, I believe she got a HM last year, and.
Yeah.
Becky, my twin, is the only person I know with a hat trick from there, so that's really awesome.
Yeah. Becky's done remarkably well, and does so, seems to just do remarkably well in that competition most years, actually, with the work she puts in. So.
All right.
There you go. Hatter. Have you got a poem?
Yeah. I am just finished it. I'm posted it now.
Perfect.
Fine. Yeah, who we got first?
So I was going to ask, Wayne, do you have a poem for this topic? I haven't. Or not, Wayne?
I don't think my poem is quite on topic. It says the guy saw the light, but that's
okay.
Not it. But
Let's go through the light and see what we have left and see if we can make sense. I mean, it could be sort of dark or something, but I reckon you go first, Hatter. Put it up on the board.
Oh, I gotta go first. Okay.
Well, you don't have to. I can put mine up if you like.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to start?
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Righto. Yeah, bear with me. I'll grab mine, and then, as I said, we've got a few sound clouds to pick our way through, and yeah. Oh, I haven't put mine on. Okay, so let me go grab it, and I'll put it on from my group and list here. So. We had some
and
problems.
And the sound clip in the studio that says Uncle Charlie is that thing that Wayne was talking about last night.
We'll get to that. Okay. Righto. Well, it's been an unusual week, Hatter. I've actually written a lot of poems, and that hasn't happened much recently, so I'm just working my way through copying the connection. That's me, of course. I've written four poems just because, yeah. And that's unusual for me. So let's get it onto the page. So anyway, look, here we go. I'll put it up on the board now. It's only a brevity. It's on the laptop rather than the iPad.
This is Splinters.
Got it now. This is Splinters. And it's a little brevity and it goes a bit like this. Through a window above a door is the faintest tingling of a day. It jumps through the glass with the unbidden joy of a toddler, stirring the muddy corners and formerly hung navy curtains, casting a pale shadow on clothes, strewn off a wicker basket, showing the light trails of dust on a bench in weakened rows as splintered segments push into the corners of my closed eyes. Hen pop.
Bench in weakened rows. Vintage segment pushing to the corners of my closed eyes. I wanted it to rhyme at the end. I don't know why.
Well, it doesn't, Hatter. It doesn't rhyme.
I like the way
I like the way you started it. That's where I used to hang out, in the corner above the door.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the nice thing about it is it's only short. It's only a very short brevity.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's weird what things AutoRank likes and what it doesn't, but AutoRank likes this one. So,
you know, sometimes you just know when it's over. Oh,
yeah. Oh, we do. We do have a person at the door, Hatter.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to 603.
Hey, you
hello,
guys
Scott.
Are on nice and early. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I just sat down at the computer to hopefully write a poem for Monday. But I saw that you guys were on nice and early. So I thought I would call and do a poem before I sit down to write something for Deb on Monday.
That's a great idea. I think that's a wonderful idea, Scott. I think we can roll with that completely, if I can actually make my computer work, which is always
something. Well, can I make a comment on the phone first? Well,
go right
ahead.
Please.
Before we get
you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful, and I was halfway through writing my comment, so, but I like the part about how you go into the details of the curtains, because it feels like the reader's really there. And it is, and I know that you mentioned it's a brevity, and it shows one moment, but I think about the best things about one moment is that if you really take the time to appreciate moments, certain moments, and even the ones that kind of like seem like throwaway moments, like maybe you wake up and you catch the light of some way, and it seems like people could rush by those moments and then just move on with their day. But if you take a second to really appreciate those moments, especially here, like in poetry, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to do, to sit, slow down and appreciate one moment at a time. And I feel like that's what your poem has done. You know, as splinter segments push into the corners of my closed eyes. It seems on the surface like someone could say, oh, well, you just opened your eyes. But when you put poetry into it and you put thought and you put stock in that moment and you appreciate the time, which you should, it becomes so much more. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And that's unusual for me because I don't usually do brevities, number one. Number two, I don't usually do free verse. And so it was nice to sort of find both. But thank you.
Oh. Cool. Hi, Sky.
Hi, how are you guys?
Okay.
You guys are good?
We got real quiet all of a sudden. You had an amazing amount of snow, Sky. I was looking at those pictures and I'm like, I can't believe it.
I've never seen that much snow in my life. I mean, we usually get it, like, we get 2 feet. That's okay. Sometimes we get, I think 2 feet is like the normal, maybe we get in one go. And then if it's like a really heavy winter, obviously it becomes, they have to find places to put the snow. So 2 feet 1 week and then another foot another week. It might build around, but I've never seen that much snow fall. It started snowing Monday night, and it didn't stop till Wednesday. And I could not believe I had to – I mean, I'm only 5'2", so looking out on looking out on the patio door, like the a three-season porch, right? And you're looking through the glass, and you see the snow above the door, handle, and you realize you can't get out that way. You have to go out another way and hop, and I mean hop, because some of it, you know, we got the snow plow out of the garage, and because I wasn't at my house, it was a formidable amount of property, because I waited out the storm with some friends at their house, and so, you know, when she got out the snowplow and she dug out and she made some rounds, it was like a maze. But there was still a section to get to the other house, so there would be exits. I had to walk, and I mean in snow pants, in boots. I had to walk because we couldn't get to that in snow that was up to my waist. Like I literally had to sink in and like wade through water to get to the other, to get to the porch, so that I can shovel in, because I couldn't open the door out, so that I can shovel so that the exit was clear. And I have never in my life have had that happen. Like, it was up to my waist. I couldn't. I was wading through it like waist deep water to get to the porch. Insane.
I think that's how.
On one side of my car, because it was 3.5 feet, it was 42 inches. So on one side of my car, the snow was up to the window, and then all you could see, because it's on top of the car, and then below the car, all you could see was a little bit of window, like a little streak, and then obviously you can see the black of my rearview mirror. But the problem with that was, one side was, we had to shovel that out. But the problem, one of the biggest problems was on the other side of the car, the snowdrift happened. So the snowdrift on the other side of the car enveloped my whole half of my car, was underneath a snowdrift that went up to the top of my car and made its way around like a cove. So I was digging out my car in snowdrift snow on one side, waist deep, and on the other side, it was taller than me. Bombs, I won't say them here. I almost said it. I really had to curb myself on that right then. But that's it. That's the end of my story. I won't bore you anymore. But it was insane.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's right.
Never.
Can I put a picture of your door on the chat wall?
Oh yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you can do that. That's fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Blimey.
I feel like that's not even the whole door. That's not even the whole door. Hold on, because it's still. I don't think that's the whole door.
It's up above the door handle.
Well, I know, but you can. Because there's some more still on the way down, though. Oh yeah, it is. Okay.
I believe that's why. I believe that's why Santa Claus is reported coming down a chimney.
I know. I'll show you on the other side of that when I finally cut in. And that porch, by the way, is a two-section porch, so I had to shovel the first porch to get to the second porch. But that is that was the other side of that door. I had to shovel that in two porches. It was fun. I felt like my arms were broken. Hell of a workout. Oh yeah, it was, because that was, like I said, that's a two-section porch. Plus, there was a porch on the other side. Plus, my car. I mean, I had the day off from school, but it was like I worked all day to get all that snow out.
Oh yeah. Bloody hell.
Isn't snow wonderful?
It's very pretty.
It is very pretty. It was very pretty. There was a lot of it.
It's snow. It's been a long time since I visited the snow.
Yeah, we had, they put school back in session Thursday, but half the staff and half the kids weren't there because no one had power. I'm surprised they even had school. I mean, they had 2 days of school out, and then on the third day they said, but there was also several roads closed because trees were down and the whole roads were closed off. The internet powers went down. Everything went down. It was.
Sky, would you like to read yours? Take it down up there. Oh, never mind. I thought I saw a piece that was posted.
I did put the site up, but it's sitting above the snow photos. That's all.
Sorry. I'm like, I'm a little energetic today. Okay, this right? this is a poem I did for actually one of Deb's contest. So this is called The Jingle of Lights on Gristmill Timber. And here's your rhyme, Hatter. There is a window of pipe organ whistles left to dry upon twine and wreath of sun. It sprawls over terry cloth lumber trestles like a knit of silk drapes churned and sung. The notes of water sprays and tiny grains brush a velveteen shine on crystally wood. As millstones thresh and sieve paper music like an ink and wash of multicolored paint. Tucked securely alongside rushing rill beds, within green vine swirls of forest dance, are hidden wonders of nature and song, the jingle of light on gristmill timber. End quote. Oh, it doesn't rhyme at the end. Sorry. Sorry, guys. We switched to free verse. We lost two lines.
No, very good. What's gristmill? I don't gristmill. I've heard it before, but I don't know
it's
what.
It's like a water mill. It's like one of those mills right there.
Okay, that's like that. Okay. Cool. Sky, you've been writing for a long time, haven't you? You've been writing poetry.
I think the first time I picked up, I did poetry, I was 11. So probably about 23, I don't know, I'm 27 now. Who's good at math? I'm not 27, 37, 37 minus 11, that many years. Like 23 or
so
something.
In most writer's life or writing life, things get easier. Like anything else, it gets a little easier. But in writing, it can also get more complicated because you try to build off your talent. What is it? Can you elaborate? What's easier for you that you've been writing so long that you sit down to write something about something or to figure something out? What's easier now than it was then? I mean, because I know you even write the little tales, the hobbits and the stories like that. So I would assume that would help. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think one thing for me is that I'm a really big reader. I really love to read. So I think reading has made writing easier because I've learned a lot of words. And sometimes people will say, well, how do you know this word? And there are things that I do look up sometimes. And I have like a Word of the Day app, and I always love to learn new words, and I'm always learning new words. But sometimes people will say to me, well, how do you know this word? I'm like, oh, well, I read it in a book, you know, at some point in time. You know, there are a lot of things like that. So I think reading, as much as I do, helps me with the language. But for me, the thing that has become easier that I've worked on over the years, I think it are different styles. So once I pick a style, it makes it easier for me to know how to write it. So if I'm writing a confessional poem, I'm not there. It's a different style than this. If I'm writing a story poem, you know, depending on what it's going to be, sometimes it starts out in rhyme and then I'll switch to free verse, or sometimes I'll write in free verse and it will have bits of rhyme. And I think for a long time I tried to stay within the lines of one or the other, and when I let go of that and just let it be what it is, I think I found that to be easier. But I also, the thing that because I have so many different styles of writing, I have the darker side, I have the storytelling side, it's dark, you know, the children's poetry, epic poem writing, fandom poem writing. I think once I get comfortable in that style as I'm writing, that's what makes it easier, if that makes sense. I think that's learning how to do that and to be able to be comfortable in switching in that, I think that is the most. The thing I find the hardest is, and I love form, and the thing that I find the hardest still to this day is iambic pentameter, because the stresses and the unstresses, they really stress me out. I mean, I love the way it sounds,
right.
But the iambus of it and the counting syllables, it's so much work, but I'm always worried that a syllable is off. So To this day, if I say, listen, I really love this monotetra, I really want it to be an iambic, because often I'll say, okay, I want to do a monotetra, but I'm leaving the iambus out because it's too stressful. But if I really like the form and I'm like, I really like this poem, I really want it to be close as I can. I have a friend here, LG, Lori Gromit, and I'll run it through her because she's great with it. She's a teacher. She's really great. And I'll say, hey, can you give me suggestions on what to change that'll keep the iambus? So even when I do that, which is very rare, I still have someone check it who's better than me. And I take their suggestions and I change my words to fit it. And I thank her for that, you know. So,
You know, I one time I wanted to know what the modern day poets that are considered really good poets or modern day famous poets, how they wrote, who were they, and what did they write about. The professors that I read about that were writing these articles on how to be a better writer, the first thing they said is, all of them agreed, if you want to be a better poet, read poetry. Read it. Read as much as you can to do exactly what you said, was to develop your own style and to be able to rely on that throughout a piece. You just explained, it's just the experience that you have, which is great. The reason I threw that question at you, because I know you've been writing for a long time, and you, the way you piece the words together, you can tell it's a professional type of structure, and I really appreciate that. Sky.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. Very humbling. Thank you.
No problem. Glad. You have the gift of gab, too, which any radio host would love to have you on their show. Thank you.
It took a while. I had so many years of speech therapy that it took me a while to get confident enough. I'm glad I did. I think A Team of Voices was the first show that I called into, and I was mortified because I had years and years. I had speech therapy until I was in high school, and then they still wanted me to have it, and I said, no thanks, I'm all done with that. And I sounded like I was deaf till I was about 5, and it took me a long time to get comfortable. And I'm glad I did, so because it definitely helped me progress and feel comfortable and confident, and I really appreciate all poetry and the guy and every you guys doing Blog Talk. You know, I think A Team of Voices was the first one that I called in on. So.
Yeah, it's a huge step as far as the evolution of poetry to share it on the radio the way we do. That's a great tool to use.
Yeah.
And again, it brings a more personal touch with you, with the other poets that you become friends with.
Faster.
That's
everybody
like, yeah,
I know, they don't, I probably, no one I know in person wants to talk about poetry, right? It's such a rare breed. You have to go to a group or a club. You know, I live out in the middle of nowhere, so you're talking like everybody, like sometimes they'll listen to it because it's your poetry and they like you and they're your friends and you're like, yeah, but they don't want to talk about it, right? So it's such a great place and a great space to be able to reach out and to have and learn from other people and to, you know, be challenged like this. I would never written this. Deb did a contest. I would never written this poem unless I would enter Deb's contest. And that's what I think about all the people that won contests and that are inspiring to others and all the work that I have that I never would have done if someone else didn't say, hey, here's a prompt, write to this.
Yeah, you brought up your first time you called in to share your poetry, how nervous you were. I think the best story, was it Pretty Bird? She got her to call in, and she faked being a recording. I thought that was, that's a great thing. That is just outstanding. Oh, man. I laugh every time I think about that. Yeah, there's nothing to be nervous about. It's just a phone call, and once you get to know the people, and anybody's welcome to call in to hang with us, meet us, and be brave and read yourself.
Yeah, I say I'm lying on the, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
you know, you get more comfortable, and you trust who you're with, and you have a safe space, and you're able to grow creatively.
I think most all of us have tried singing something once, whether good or bad, except for Deborah.
Yeah.
You should have heard her and Pretty Bird both when I tried to convince them that they'd be great hosts.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes the group is the different talents. Everybody's different. What they're stronger at. You know, Pretty Bird's got her style, and Sky's got hers. I mean, it's once you understand the styles, you can appreciate the differences and the nuances of each poet. I mean, I've got the rhyming curse, so there's not a whole lot you can do with that. But,
and you always have wonderful conversations and questions. I love it. But I do have a question for AP. AP, are you feeling better? I mean, you're here.
Yes, I am.
Did that all work out for you?
I have had a lot of trouble with my foot. Yeah, significant amount of trouble with my foot, and I probably underplayed how bad that was about 8 or 10 weeks ago when. You know, three times in the last 5 months I've been slated to have my right leg amputated because the wound on the foot was that bad. So just to give you an idea of how bad it was, that's how bad things were. But since the last operation, which was I had three operations in 2 months. I was in hospital through Christmas to New Year. And the last operation worked incredibly well, and I've actually now got the foot to the point where I have no hole in the foot for the first time in 10 months. It's completely healed. I'm very excited about that. I know that sounds a small thing to be excited about, but I'm very excited about the fact I now do not have a hole in my foot for the first time in about 10 months. And we now got to go to the next stage, which of course is to do some things to make sure that I don't do that again. And so there's a series of things I've got to do in terms of rehab to make sure that works. But it's a lot easier going into rehab when you've actually got no problems with the foot, and I don't now. So
that all started when you severed your Achilles tendon. Is that it?
It did, oh. Yeah. When I came to the States about 3 years ago, I stupidly ran through the terminal at LA because there were no planes there, and I wanted to get through the terminal quickly, and it usually takes forever and all that stuff. And so I ran to the passport station. It only took me 15 minutes to get through the passport queue, and I was so excited, and I walked 3 steps past having got my passport stamped, and I felt this in my right leg, and it was like a bow, like a violin bow, and it started curling. I could feel it curling, and then it went pop. 3 steps past into the United States, past passport control in LA International Airport, and my bloody Achilles tendon popped. Yeah, and I'm like, oh shit! I'm just into the United States. I've got a week of stuff to do for work, and I knew I busted my Achilles tendon because I couldn't move my foot. It's the worst feeling. But no, and you know, we had a whole heap of operations for that, and they didn't work very well, and blah and blah and blah. And they finished up with me having a bloody great big hole in the heel, which is now fixed. So thank you for asking. A long explanation, but thank you.
No, yes. I want to know that. I'm glad for you. The feet, I mean, they're important, right? They get you places.
Well, you know, I'd rather have two. Sky, all things being equal, you know, I mean, I would have managed with one and done a whole heap of work to make sure I could have done what I'd done. But, you know, if you have your choice, you'd rather have two.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
I'm glad though. I'm glad there's no holes in your feet anymore, and I hope you have even more better recovery now coming in.
Yeah. No, I'm, as I say, it's a very small thing, but I'm excited. So there you go.
It's not a small thing.
Deborah laid the law down.
Not a small thing.
Deborah laid the law down.
not.
You can't get hurt.
Monumental thing.
And it's a life thing, because I will tell you, you know, it's the struggle, and I hate to, you know, I don't want to make you think the struggle, you know, but I'm sure you know, once that Achilles tendon is shortened, it's hard for the rest of your life, you know, because I had a club foot.
Yeah.
So when I was little, they cut my Achilles tendon to make my foot, because it was turned all the way in. And they cut it, and they put it straight, obviously, and they put me in a cast for 3 years. But my Achilles tendon on that side, if I don't stretch it, it's not little or nothing. So it's a big deal.
No, it's a big deal. It's absolutely a big deal. It's horrible thing to happen. Horrible thing to happen. And I actually had, you know, the tendon taken out of my big toe. to form into the new Achilles because it was so busted. So it's been a big sort of journey, really. But here I am and walking and all that stuff. And as I said, I'm just extremely excited that it's sort of healed in the way it has.
You survived. You've got a story to tell now.
Yeah.
I know how tendon damage is. When my hand was severed, sewn back on, they shortened the tendons about a half an inch to be able to tie it back together. And,
You
can talk about my hand.
It's a big deal. Big deal. And look, the older you get, unfortunately, and I'm old, the harder it is to heal, so it makes it, you know, even better. So.
Yeah, and then you get, like, the arthritis from the thing, you know, but we're alive.
Yeah.
I am going to go, though, because I want to write to have a poem, and I can't be up all night, but I really need to write her a poem, and this is the time I can do it.
No, it's great. It's great. Sky has done really well. And look, I should say, it's a great subject. Great poem.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye, guys. Yeah, I'm glad I did too. Have a good night.
Thanks, Guy. Okay.
See, is Wayne still with us? Did he bring presents?
I'm still here. I've been listening.
Would you like to read?
What? No, I've been stepping in to see y'all talk up. You know, the reason I'm retired is because I had both feet operated on, so I know where y'all are coming from. I said my feet are still messed up, so I understand about the feet problems.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, bugger. Sorry, Wayne.
Yeah, I had a gentleman when I was managing the athletic club. His name was Jack Austin, and I give him all the props in the world. He was a nice gentleman. He was in his 70s. He still showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning to play handball. He would come out into the pro shop and start talking to me now and then, and he'd say, whatever you do, if you want to give me some advice, he goes, whatever you do, take care of your feet. And he says, in every aspect, do not mess with your feet. If you can't move, your life is going to, quality of life dropping significantly.
Absolutely.
And he said that more than once. He was a real, And I always remembered that. So, thank you, Jack.
There's great truth in that, Hatter. There's great truth in that. The minute you can't move, it just puts incredible restraints on what you can do, and it just makes everything so much harder. And so he was absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, I was a track guy when I was young, and if I didn't fear much, because if I couldn't take it, they couldn't catch me. That was always my philosophy. It worked for me a couple of times. Not that I ran much of anything, but I knew that outnumbered, I didn't have to worry too much. But when I started having problems and back problems, I felt like the wounded gazelle out on the African plain, you know, alone, the lions or something around. You're the one they're going to pick, the guy that's limping.
I get it.
Yeah, got to keep that care. Got to be able to move. Cool. So, Wayne, did you bring a piece to read?
It's on the board.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Anytime. Oh, is it SoundCloud?
He's got a set. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Let me hit the SoundCloud for you, Wayne, and that's happening now.
Okay.
This is called Can't Be Murdered. Killing does not come easy for me. My stomach aches when blood I see. But fate can make one do bad things. And a bad woman has evil she brings. Met her one night at the local dance. She was lovely, so I took a chance. I said, hello, you are looking nice. She turned with a glare as cold as ice. I said, I was wondering who you are. She said she needed a ride. Do I have a car? I said, yes, I do. May I have your name, please? She didn't grin, but said to call me Louise. Got to the car. She said, this is no date. I replied, that's okay. It's not very late. Drove down the road. Was going slow. Where are we headed? I need to know. She was quiet, sat very still. She said, you know the old house up on the hill? If you don't mind, you can take me there. I started to laugh, said there'd be no fare. I thought to myself, this must be a test. Then I noticed her large protruding breast. I asked her if she mind if I would gently touch. After one squeeze, I could tell she didn't like it much. As I pulled in the drive, she said, can I come in? That was the first time I saw her grin. She said, come on, we'll have some fun. After she got out, I grabbed my gun. Inside the door, she had this look in her eye. She said, you made a mistake. Now you'll die. She pushed me against the wall and pulled out a knife. I could tell then I might lose my life. She started to laugh as she slashed my arm. I ran to the next room to escape harm. There were three bodies. One without a head. I didn't have to ask. I knew they were dead. Put up my gun as I turned around. She was gone without making a sound. As I started to leave, she began her attack. I could feel the blade go in my back. As I fell, I lunged for the old chair. But she grabbed my head with a handful of hair. I knew right then she was having fun. So I shot between the eyes with my gun. As she fell back, I knew it killed her. There's no way they can call this murder. I told the police my story as I bled. I was confused as my rights were read. Ian?
The date from her. Yeah, I knew something was up when you were talking. How you started that, and then all of a sudden you're on a no date situation. That was pretty.
Yeah, she's
a good story. Deborah, what did you think?
I think that Wayne is a little bit insane. I think that. He read that all calm, and he has this romantic, bluesy music going on in the background. But I'm sitting here on mute, giggling, because, like I said, it was crazy. I could picture it. And then your ending, you were confused, like, why are they arresting me? That was really fun.
Thank you.
Cool, AP. Can I comment?
Well, yeah, look, it's sort of kill or be killed, isn't it, Wayne? You know, in this life, in a general sort of sense. And this is quite specifically, you either end up a victim or you end up something else. And that's where this was, but the music got me too. You know, like, it was like... It was like the music that you hear when you're, they're asking you to buy a sort of
a set of chairs on television. And it's sort of a little bit different from sort of scrabbling for your life with somebody who's attempting to carve you up. And so it was the juxtaposition of the music with the poem that got me. Same as Deb, I think.
Yeah, it's all calm.
Yeah, and I bet you it was a long time before you offered somebody a ride again. Just saying.
I don't know, the breasts are pretty good either. Might do that again.
Well, thank you, Wayne.
Thanks
for showing up. Thanks for showing up.
Hey, did you get a chance to hear that thing I gave you? I talked about last night. If you get a chance to listen to it, there's no way you can like Mr. Bojangles without knowing the history of it. And that's what that is. It tells you about who Mr. Bojangles was.
Yeah. Yeah. The one famous TV appearance by Bojangles is with Shirley Temple dancing up and down the steps in that mansion. Little curlicue or something. No, that's Bojangles.
No, Bojangles was he was born in 1883.
Yeah, Mr. Bojangles.
And his dog can sing the old Oregon Cross.
Yeah, no, I tried to find it, Wayne, and it's based from a homeless tap dancing man from the 1960s in New Orleans.
He's legendary.
It's another narrative about Mr. Bojangles. It tells you about he says he's born in 1881 or something like that, and he's too old to. He was too young to go to World War One and too old to go to World War Two, and he took care of his parents and all that. He had a dog named Teddy. If you listen to it, it's pretty cool. If you listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
Hey, we don't have that. We don't have that song in our library, do we? Deborah?
We have the actual track that Wayne's speaking about with him and his dog at the.
Yeah,
it's
pretty cool.
By the nitty gritty dirt man.
Uh huh. And Uncle Charlie and his talking dog are at the beginning of it.
Can we play that?
Do we want to light that up?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. Good.
Cool. Okay. It's cool as all get out.
Should be the first thing in the studio.
But before you push the button, I'll just do pause and remind everybody you are listening to ATOV, A Team of Voices Radio, a poetry group. And this is Saturday, Saturday. With me is AP Taylor, Wayne Gent, and Deborah Lee. I'm Jay Hatter, and we're going to take a music timeout.
Here we go. Let's see. Let's hear.
I was born in Kaufman County, Texas. That was in 11th of September, 1886. Come to California in 1906. I didn't have to go to World War One. I was too old for World War Two. One good thing that I've always been proud of, I was the youngest in the family, and the rest was all married, and I've taken good care of my mother and father as long as they lived. There's a feller up here at the post office one day. He's a pet him. I says to him, "That dog, you have no idea how smart he is. I just thought I'd tell you. You ain't telling me nothing. I know all about it." Kids would come here. "We want to hear old Ted sing." In them days, I fooled with him more then. I could just commence this way. "I want you to sing now. Do, do, do." "Now I have to take the harp and make a sound before you sing.
Teddy, come in. Come on. Come on out from under there. You know, sit down. Sit down, Teddy. Now here, I want you to sing. Sing these folks' song. Sing the old rugged cross. Listen, chord with this now. Here. Yo, do, sing.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn out shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoes. He jumped so high, he jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down. Met him in a sail in New Orleans, I was down and out. Looked to me to be the eyes of age as the smoke ran out. He talked of life, talked of life, laughed, clicked his heels and stared. Said his name, Bojangles, and he danced a lick across the cell. He grabbed his pants and fair that stands for we jumped so high. And then he clicked his heels. He let go a laugh, he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. He danced for those at minstrel shows and county fairs throughout the South. He spoke to tears of 15 years, how his dog and him traveled about. The dog up and died, he up and died. After 20 years he still grieves. Instead of dance now at every chance in honky-tonk for dreams and tears, but most of the time I spend behind these county bars.
Was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, American rock, country rock band formed in 1966. The group was group has existed in various forms since its founding in Long Beach, California. The members are Bob Carpenter, Jimmy Fadden, Jamie Hanna, Jeff Hanna, and Ross Holmes. But what I just learned, some of the past members: Ralph Barr, Merle Briganti, and Michael Bruno, and Jackson Browne. I didn't know Jackson Browne played for the Dirt Band. Wow.
I didn't either.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, you know the rest of the story.
Jeff Hanna is the vocalist. Jimmy Fadden, the drummer, and harmonica and vocals. Bob Carpenter, keyboards, accordion and vocals. And Jamie Hanna, also guitar and vocals. Cool. Well, that was played on the radio all the time, man, when I was little.
I was. Okay.
Yeah. So we learned something.
That album came out in 1970.
I'm trying to look at they always have the list of people associated with the Dirt Band, either their friends or their past members or such. And It goes from Vince Gill, Ricky Skaggs, John Denver, Earl Scruggs. Earl Scruggs is one of the guys that did the Beverly Hills Billies.
Yep.
Platt and Scruggs.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Scruggs and Platt, yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for bringing that to us, Wayne.
Yeah, it was kind of sad that nobody ever heard of it, and I thought, well, I thought everybody heard of this before, and so I finally heard one person say they heard it before, so I had to find it. So I'm glad everybody got to hear it.
Huh. We'll have to do a music show on the Dirt Band. It seems like there's quite a bit of history to them. Yeah. All right.
That's cool.
Okay, I think I could probably hide mine right about here. And Wayne, you're a sick writer, man. I love it.
Bet I am.
Okay, let's see if I still got it in my queue. I do. And this is a rush job again. God darn it. One of these days I'll find that file that I put all these poems from that I start with it earlier in the week, but I can't find. Showtime. This is called Promise Me I'll See the Light the Day Before I Die. Keyword, light. Okay, here we go. Promise me I'll see the light the day before I die. Questions heard, unholy words, too late to even try. Light the fields of battles past to watch the evil sins taken down amongst the sounds. It's where it all shall, where it shall begin. To pray the day you're too old, it's time. To pray the day you're old, it's time. I rewrote that. To leave the doubt so far behind, free the soul so found, so foretold, it brings the faith into this light. Lessons learned too late to earn a place to celebrate your life. Be warm, food. Gotta have faith, man. I know.
You have a wonderful way of telling a story.
Well, I should have put more work. I should have found the other one because it was the same. That was the first thing I thought of when I thought of light as the prompt was see the light. When I was in my accident and crashed twice, I've been asked, did you see the light? See the light? No, I didn't. I don't know. I think that's what my mom was freaked out. She hated me telling that story to anybody because in my mom's day, or she was learned from my grandma, comes from Belgium, that people that have come back have changed. I didn't know that about my mother. She was a devout Catholic. Did any of you ever hear that before? You're on devil's time, something like that.
Something like that.
Did you ask me that?
That's what my mom said, to quit me telling that story if when asked, because it freaked her out, because she believed or was told, you know, people look at you different because you're on devil's time or something. Can't remember the quote.
Well, I think there was always a superstition had it, to be talking about it was to threaten it. Does that make sense? You know, that if you were sticking your hand to the devil, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I quit telling, just tell it like I'm doing right now. Yeah, I quit talking about it. Shit.
Is
there lessons learned? Anyway.
I think that's what the fear was, that if you talk about it, it'll happen.
Yeah, I can understand that, but that's not where she was coming from, and I wish I could remember exactly. I don't know, I remember how it made me feel, but the words that she used. And she looked me straight in the eye, and she meant every damn word of it. So I was like, all right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely she did. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, she clearly
wanted you to get that message, yeah?
Well, you know, I always knew when I was in that accident how it affected my parents, but no, I didn't. I didn't know how deep it hurt her. And she...
Yeah.
So
and often we don't hold it back.
Doctors say I'm much better now, so I'm good.
This is good news, Hatter. This is good news. Deb, I think that it sounds like something not so good has happened with all of our contests. Is that right?
No, my Monday topic, all the pictures that are available you got to choose from are gone. So then in a panic, I just check in my other shows, and luckily they still seem to be there. So I'm going to try to piece it back together
Tell me I went ahead and picked one, like on the 26th or something. I think, You told me to do it. That way.
For Linda.
My week. What week is?
Wait.
I think I picked a picture on one you have posted in the future. But I'm gonna have to go look. See if I posted the picture.
Just for a tick, Hatter, are you suggesting, Deb, that all the work that you've done to put images on all of those forward programs are not there? Is that what you're saying?
I was just checking those. So far, those are there, but the show for Monday, you can it's all my notes for who took what are still on the board, and all the numbers where my pictures were, it's like somebody went into my topic, just deleted all my photos.
That's weird.
Change the password. See if that dummy thing pops up on your thing.
They were there last night. The 17th. On the 17th, I added the picture that Phil chose. And I check it every day to see if anybody asked for a new picture, so it was there yesterday.
Yeah.
But now they're all gone. I'm a bit flustered. But actually, I'm a little bit pissed off because this makes no sense. I'm going to log out of all poetry for a minute and pray that that does something, but I somehow doubt it. Log out. Jeez. Log in. To your voices. 20th. Come on. And no. And you know what else is weird? All my topics are centered. All my topics have some of the stuff blown up a little bit to emphasize it.
Yep.
I have a format in my draft, and I just put the format there and then add photos to it. So all my highlights are gone. The whole entire topic is positioned to the left instead of the center, and there's no pictures. But they're all in. You know how you have to go into that thing to pull them. Okay, I'm going to add as many as I can find back in there so that the people who haven't chosen yet can pick some. But, like, this is really, really messed up, and I don't know. This has never happened to me before.
Can I make a party political non-PC comment for a minute? Over the space of the last week or two, we've had a series of changes to the format of all poetry, and so, for example, it went from being a light background to a dark background. and it would appear as if there's been a range of changes through the site that have been done without any discussion or correspondence with the writers on the site that just happened. I have a fear that this is another one of those unexpected and unannounced changes, Deb, and my strong request to allpoetry.com is that they have a whole heap of writers, they know where they are, and that before any changes are made to any formats, any fonts, any attachments, anything to do with the way the site operates, that they at least have a communication process in place with the writers, because it makes it incredibly difficult to manage things if they just occur.
Right, you're right.
I agree. Yeah. And like yesterday when I was trying to add what's coming up next and all, I usually center it and it wouldn't, every time it would say it was centered and then I would push enter and it would push it back to the left. I thought everything was, when I went to put on Open Poetry, I posted that in the center, it came out to the left. When I posted Happy St. Patrick's Day, I posted it to the center, it came out to the left. I feel like I should be grateful that at least it only happened to one. But hell, I have to, it's going to be, I'm still scrolling through the rest of them. Far, knock wood, it's the, because I mean, hell, I've got my topics up till May 8th. So far, the only one is, like I said, Monday. So I'm going to add as many as I can find that weren't used back in. But
anybody listening can that entered or might have entered that already needs to contact you for next Monday? Is that...
No. I'm going to put some pictures back in. It's just aggravating. I work hard on my topic boards, and like I said, it's totally messed up. All the choices are gone. I don't want to keep talking about it.
Okay. Yeah, let's finish the show. what's the subject next week, AP? Did you think about it?
I don't know, but there's only 35 minutes left, and we'll be at 2 hours, and there's about 10 poems on the board?
I don't think we're going to get through light, Hatter. I think we're going to have to do light V2.
I think so, too, but I do need you to do me a favor. There's two poems on there that have been left over for a couple weeks, and I really
read.
Come on, put them up.
We need to do those two poems.
Let's do those.
Deb, if you could put those up on the board.
I'll just send those to everybody else because that's all we can do.
AP, why don't you go ahead and comment on the first one, and then we'll just play the second one right after.
We'll do that, Hatter. So.
All right, here's the two that I really need. Guys, can I leave? Can you guys handle these last two, please?
Sure.
I got it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, we'll
Deb.
Do these last two. Have fun, Deb. Talk soon. And Hatter, just to finish that conversation we were having, appear that Kevin's been trying to hold together of All Poetry, runs All Poetry, has been trying to hold the site together with the existing formats and fonts and how it looks, and it fell apart on him a few days ago. So he's trying to recreate it. He's put a note on the front page to that extent. Okay. Meanwhile, there are two poems. We've got problems. I'm going to read the Robert Pulaski poem first, Hatter, if that's okay. This is
Oh,
the
Robert?
Robert Pilecki. This is the Lullaby of Solitude. And this is a poem of his that is on had a number of contest entries and has a wonderful image that's painted as well. So this is the Lullaby of Solitude by Robert Pilecki, and it goes a bit like this. I am alone but not lonely. I have my inner peace. In the solitude of quiet grace, with my mind stuck in between grains of sand. In between dreams, enjoying my own company and my own presence. The warm sun rolling waves, smell of the fresh bouncing water, the feel of salt on my skin and sand under the feet. My eyes listen to the light as it plays upon seawater. A chorus of sun-warmed grains sings the melody of the beaches right into my core. Sand, copious wet, the humble star of the scene, most gentle hue of gold. Almost earthen and muted hues, as tender on the eye as a vintage photograph, as the colours of my ever dreams at eventide. The beach and the water, constant chattering friends, bantering, wise cracking, chanting a soft song of the marum grasses, lullaby that speaks so well, without even a whispered word. Breathing deeply of the ocean carried air, listening to the percussion of waves, that all has been my lullaby since before I was a consciousness wrapped in human form, in poem.
Now, this, I've read a few of Robert's work now, being for the contest, and he's part of the group. I like his writing, the way his mind creates as he's going. There's a certain place you got to be able to do that. He does it so well. It's very familiar to me. I really like the cadence. You did a great job reading it, too.
He's got a real he's able to step back, and he's able to appreciate things and see things that I think others just let slip past. And it's to the detail of what he says and how he says it, Hatter. It's a beautiful style of how he writes.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah, good job, Robert, if you listen to the show. I'm assuming he does.
And the second one that I have is by Xylophonic Blues, and it's called Undressing the Moon, and this is a gold winner. So this poem goes a little bit like this. The world, dancing figurines in thunder's shattered jars, broken glass, amongst the wind blew soft. Ashen icicles playing violin, hear the echoes from lavender's skin. Nebulae pearls and ivory's bodice fell as rain peals from tilted sun. Frequencies, illusion, blurring over the electric. Orphans sifting gold from sands, perfumed flesh sown on shades, disclosing the indestructible body of law. Anklet lotuses establishing amplitude, unadorned. Under an art dreams hold the clocks languidly behind. Sleeting fire turns at lead and follow, one in action and repose. Alone on a butterfly's mirrored night journey, Orion's lamp has a triple wick, remembering, questioning, and sheltering. With it pursuant fixed between sighted wings, I unfastened dream, navigating, uncompliant, time left over. Continents of opposites emerge. The threaded dances of geese laundered shadow. Designations shelter transient stream of refuge and sanctuary. Beneath a vivid silver-flecked blue. Commonality convenes, voices rising amongst ocean's dark fall. Languages, massive wings, ebbing, surging. Longing for the mystery I have known. Crossing life's drawbridge against bosom's dew. I have the moon. End poem. What do you think, Ada?
Yeah, I'm talking to him on mute, but Blue's another one that just the storyline that you process as he's writing. It this kind of writing, you know, really makes you think. You try to get it all what he means. You have to read it more than once. Perfume flesh sewn on shades disclosing. Right off the bat, in the first jars, broken glass, shattered jars, broken glass.
Yeah.
Amongst the wind, blue soft, crashing icicles, playing violin, hearing the echoes from lavender skin. Nicely done. A word wizard for sure.
Yeah, the words are chosen not just for their meaning, but how they sound together. And
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not always the $26 words or however they say that that brings out. It's the puzzle that you piece in what words you use. And the sound, you're right.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The ending lines, the rhyming lines, be careful what they follow and introduce and don't break it up with a hard sound. Little things like that that mind picks up, your ear picks up. Yeah, you really don't know why you like it.
No, but it's very clever use of assonance and very very insightful and well thought through pattern of the words, and he always does that, Blues, and he particularly does it when he reads, and you find sort of these really interesting patterns of words and patterns of rhyme.
Gress or if, he always wrote to. I think it was Gressman. He was always a strong writer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think what we'll do, Haddock, because we've got a whole heap of poems to do still. Like, we've got 5 SoundClouds we haven't done. We haven't done Pee-wee, Denny, Frank, or...
We can get that, huh?
I think we do them next week. I think we do light 2, and we do them next week.
It's better than rushing through them, yeah. And we should monitor our turn a little better.
Look, all of those writers have got really interesting styles of their own accord. Yeah, they're all 4 of them there, and I think we're better off spending more time on each of them than just rattling through with the 2 of us here and just saying we've done them. Yeah, I think we do like to next week, through them next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we give them respect that way and give us the time to critique them a little bit and tell them what parts we like.
Yeah, I think it's better. And Deb will be with us too. And, you know, I just think I think people put the time and the effort into not just doing the poem, but doing a SoundCloud and particularly,
who
like Frank and
Arcana
do a full production. Yeah.
Where would we be without
Deborah? So I think we shut up shop and do light 2 next week.
Are you in the studio?
My apologies to everybody. Sorry, Haddock?
Are you in the studio? Play a song to go out with.
Good thinking. What were you thinking, Haddock?
A Beatles song.
We can
you
do
can
that.
Pick it.
Do you have a preference for a Beatles song?
I'll let
song?
You pick it. I'll let you pick this one.
Oh, okay. Well, I can. I can do that.
I played As My Guitar Gently Weeps. I played As My Guitar Gently Weeps a couple nights ago.
Oh, did you? Well, I won't choose that one then, because we've just recently done it. But what I will do. Well, it seems like we've been, you know, on the radio a fair bit the last few days. I'm going to do 8 days a week, Hatter.
I'm thinking we How's did. That? All right. I think we played that one on that show.
Oh,
let's go early.
Okay.
Go earlier.
Oh, well, no, I've got a perfect one. We're going to do Paperback Writer since we've both done books recently.
There you go. That works.
Yeah. Here we go. Paperback Writer to finish. Here we go. Back for Light 2 next week.
Paperback Writer.
Thanks, AP.
Thanks, Adam. We'll see you all for Light 2 next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Did you pick a subject for next week?
Yeah, no, we've still got Light to do, Hatter. We're still going to go through all the poems we didn't do this week. So we're going to be at that Light version 2.
Okay.
Perfect. Okie doke. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.